Chapter 3. At home, he turned on the fan and turned on the radio, lit a cigarette, and began to read about their monsters. They had trouble forming sentences, and when they did get a complete thought, it seemed vacuous. My monsters wait for me to forget that they are watching, and then they snatch at me. He looked at the name. It was Andrea. He couldn't connect it to her face. Then he called Zoe. "Please say that you are going to come and take me out of here," was the first thing that she said. He answered, "I'm on the way." In his car, she straddled his lap and shrouded him under her hair. He swelled up for her and kissed her neck and her lips and her chin. She bit his ear and then curled up against the door. "Take us somewhere that we can be alone and naked," he said. "Have you eaten?" "Yes," she said quickly. Back at his apartment on the sofa bed that was always open, after he'd been inside of her with his tongue and fingers and cock, she whispered, "Do you know how to tie me up?" He grinned. "I'll learn." She guided him as he took one of his belts and wrapped it around her thigh and another that he buckled tightly across her nipples. He yanked them as he slid in between her bondage cheeks and stuck himself right into her ass. He moved slowly, and she clung to him as best as the belts would let her. They bathed, and then they showered, and then he read papers and essays while she sketched him over and over. She wanted that wave of light brown hair and the soft angles and hollows of his cheeks and the long eyelashes that sometimes gave him the look of a harlot. His hard, round little ass and the thick thighs and scarred knees called to her eyes. She sketched all of them and showed him what she saw. While he read, he preened for her. When he needed to go to sleep, she said, "I grew up on your poetry. My sister and Laureen read it to me all the time." Ron was stunned, looked at her as if she had spoken a language that was made up of ideas that were foreign to him. He understood the words individually, but he couldn't grasp what they meant when put together and directed at him. "Didn't you used to show your poetry to Laureen and give her copies of what you'd written?" Ron still didn't seem to understand. He nodded his head. He searched her face with his eyes, waiting for the joke, waiting to hear that she was teasing him, waiting for a Julian T. Willie comment, like maybe he should find a job as a plumber, or a Warren Lashley scrawl across a page of free verse with the word "shit" written in accusing red heavy ink. But she was serious. "I think I fell in love with Ron Tuck the poet before I ever met you," she said secretly. "Would you read some of it for me? I've never heard you read, and I've imagined how some of them would sound." Cautiously, he said, "Which ones?" She opened the back of her portfolio. Ron watched, his eyes caressing the thick, thick blonde hair and marveling at the way her glasses accented the slender bones of her face. His mind was spinning like a tilt-a-wheel that was lifting up into the night sky of an amusement park on a soft summer night. Voices inside of him were exhaling shouts of excited glee. He'd been back at Rahway just a few nights ago. Laureen had asked him to come over and to help move a couch. It was old and stained with cat piss. He got it to the curve of the stairs, where it was wedged, when Zoe came in the front door. Lorraine was having trouble putting enough pressure on the end to force it through, and Ron was using his bulk to pull, but we needed was a harder push. Zoe had jumped right in to help, before he even knew who she was. He had put his hands on her waist and lifted her up over the couch to help Noreen. He remembered the way that her hips felt just then, and the way she had smiled at him. Zoe was very strong, and her additional force had made the task easy. The three of them had coffee, and then Ron said he was going to the Cove to listen to Morris Natten play piano. Lorraine said that she didn't want to go, but to Ron's shock, Zoe had been eager to go with him. She selected a very old poem that he'd written about his cat, Lenny. She looked at the page as Ron recited it for her. Her eyes were wide with appreciation. Then she said, "I always say this is kind of a children's poem, and I wanted to illustrate it." Ron wasn't sleepy anymore. He was in love.